Swing into Seaside Golf in Ocean City, Maryland. Play like a pro at 17 championship courses designed by golf legends like Jack Nicklaus and Arthur Hills. Tee off on sweeping vistas at Eagle's Landing. Savor the coastal views of Lighthouse Sound. Or see why Ocean City Golf Club is considered one of the Mid-Atlantic's finest fairways. Whether you're sneaking in a quick round on a family vacation or going all in on a golf getaway, fun is always in play at Ocean City, Maryland. Plan your trip at OCOcean.com.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Lions podcast. That's B-L-E-A-V. I'm your host, as always, Jack Cavanaugh, and I am joined by the all-pro safety for the Detroit Lions, the interception leader for the Detroit Lions and the NFL. It is safety, all-pro safety, Glover Quinn.
What's up, man? What's up? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm just enjoying another beautiful week after a Lions victory. It just makes the weeks better. It makes it easier. It makes it more exciting reading about football coming off another victory.
Yeah, I mean, it's always great to have wins, especially as a fan, because fans only have to just, you know, pay attention and show up to the next game. Right, or tune in and watch the next game. As a player, every win you get, it makes the next game bigger. You know, every week the games get bigger. You go from last week being the biggest game because, you know, you wanted to really not lose to a Panthers team. You wanted to win another home game. So that's the biggest game right now. You come into this week, now it's the Bucs. You're on the road against an NFC opponent. If you want to show that you're a good team in this league, that you're going to be a good team in this conference, you have to be able to go on the road and beat other good teams. And Tampa Bay, they've been playing well. But if you want to be taken serious, Detroit Lions, you have to go on the road and get this win.
Bet Online is your number one source for your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting in your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's B-L-E-A-V. BetOnline, where the game starts. They do, especially after the NFL flexes the Lions into the 425 time slot, saying, hey, the Bucs are playing good, the Lions are playing good, more people need to be watching the Detroit Lions, more people need to be watching the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So if the Lions go out and lay an egg when the NFL has told the entire fan base, hey, go watch this game, that'd be pretty unacceptable.
Right. I mean, and I know this is not what you would call a national or primetime game. It's not a Sunday night or a Thursday night or a Monday night game, but it's kind of the NFL's daytime primetime game, right? They flexed it from the 1 o'clock game where you probably have, you know, 8 to 10 games on at that time to the 4:25 or the 4:15 slot where you may have 2, maybe 3 games on. And this right here would be probably the big game that they're showing in most markets on probably Fox. I would assume it's the NFC games, probably be on Fox. And so the last few times that the Lions have been in the public's eye on national TV or on the what you would call a big stage in the NFL, they have performed, they have showed up. And so this is only another opportunity for them to continue to show up. And I would definitely expect them to show up.
3-0 over their last 3 primetime games. Obviously, this isn't a primetime game, but it is still, the pressure is on, the spotlight is on. And then in a couple of weeks, they get another primetime game against the Las Vegas Raiders on Monday night. Weird how many Thursday night games the Lions have and how many Monday night games the Raiders have. I don't know who decided this, but we're just rolling with it. Anyways, back to the Detroit Lions. They're getting healthy. Amon-Ra St. Brown back to practice. He is closer to probable than questionable. Obviously, the NFL doesn't have the probable tag anymore, but he looks like he's coming back. Good time as well.
Yeah, they definitely can use him. I was excited to see them put up 42 points last week without him, without Jahmyr Gibbs. But this week, they're not playing the Carolina Panthers. Tampa Bay's defense will be tougher. You know, Antoine Winfield Jr. has been playing well, you know, and that'll be a really good matchup on the inside with Amon-Ra St. Brown. But definitely having him back is going to help add to this, you know, offensive arsenal that they have. So it's good to see him making strides towards playing because they're definitely going to be needed.
And Dan Campbell seems to be pretty honest with players. If he says you're closer to probable, I tend to believe him. He doesn't play the mind games of a Pete Carroll or one of those other coaches. Whereas we've got Jahmyr Gibbs. He's still day-to-day. Brian Branch day-to-day. So we'll see if we get either of those guys returning. You mentioned the Bucs defense, though, and they've been pretty stout for the most part. But it's also, I don't know what to make of it. Because they shut down the Vikings running game in week one, but Vikings haven't been good running the ball, period. And then they shut down the Bears, but that was when the Bears were kind of a disaster still. And then the Eagles run all over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think the Lions are a lot closer than the Vikings, the Bears, or the Saints, who they beat the last time around. And again, the Saints had Derek Carr. He was injured, so they just loaded the box.
Right. And, you know, when you look at the wins that Tampa has, like you said, you know, Chicago, not a very good team. Minnesota, not a very good team. And, you know, the Saints, you know, in that situation. So they got three wins and they've played well. But they, I don't think they've played a team outside of Philly like the Detroit Lions, a team that has a offensive juggernaut system. And then they playing really, really good on defense. And so it'd be interesting to see how the Lions show up and approach this game. If they play well, I think they'll be a little too much for Tampa Bay. But you can't take this Tampa Bay team lightly. You know, they do have good wide receivers, and that if that's anything that scares me, then that's what it would be. Because the last time we played a team with two decent wide receivers in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, we lost that game because we couldn't get big stops on third down to get off the field. Now I know the game planning and kind of what they were doing defensively was a little different. That Seattle game, couldn't get pressure on a quarterback, even with backup tackles. But DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, you know, came through and made big plays on third down. This week they're going against a Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, another two good wide receivers, two good Pro Bowl wide receivers. And so the Detroit Lions secondary has to be able to step up and make some big plays, but it's going to take the D-line and the linebackers getting pressure on Baker Mayfield, forcing him to get rid of the ball, so that he don't have time to just pick us apart.
And that was one of the things I wanted to ask you heading into this matchup is there's not many teams that have just a big outside X wide receiver and then a dominant slot as well. The Seahawks are one of those teams and it didn't work out. We get another chance to face that kind of matchup. How do you cover that? What do you do knowing, hey, we've got Mike Evans on the outside. He can go deep. He's not a deep specialist anymore because he's slowed down, but he can still beat you over the top and he's going to outmuscle you while also having Chris Godwin, who can get open at will over the middle. So it's just two separate quadrants that you have to focus on. Otherwise, you're going to get beat.
Right. It's a tough dynamic, you know. And so, you know, I know Chris Godwin used to play a lot in the slot. I don't know if he's still playing as much in the slot now, but if he is, that would be a good matchup for Brian Branch. Could be a tough matchup for Will Harris, you know, if he has to match up against Chris Godwin on the inside. And then Mike Evans is a big target. Yeah, he's probably slowed down a little bit, but I mean, he got 10 or so consecutive seasons with 1,000 yards. So he continually puts up numbers, right? The last time he was in Detroit, if I'm not mistaken, would have been probably 2014. And it was a great day for the Detroit Lions defense. They probably played in Detroit since then, though. That was, they play in Detroit probably every, what, 6 years?
Every 8 years. Or no, because they're in the
probably
NFC.
Every 6 years. Yeah. You know, the next time they probably was on the road, and then they probably played in Tampa a couple years ago, and then, I mean, played in Detroit a couple years ago. And then, are we playing the South this year? The NFC South?
Yes, we are, because we played the Panthers, we played Atlanta,
yeah. Yeah, so he's played, I guess, in Detroit since the last time we played him in 2014 with the sliding interception on the side with Rasheem Mathis, you know, getting physical with Mike Evans and frustrating him. But that was 9 years ago. So he's grown as a player. He still has his emotional outbursts at times, but right now it seems like he's, you know, he's not getting an extension with Tampa Bay. They didn't get the contract done. You know, he seems to score touchdowns and run to the sideline and really just taking care of business, just playing ball. And so we know what he can do. I think he'll be a tough matchup for Jerry Jacobs or Cam Sutton, just because he is a big, big physical body. So it's going to be a real big test for our D-line to be able to pressure Baker Mayfield. You know, we got to continue to stop the run game and force it into Baker's hand and be able to make some plays.
Are you asking Cam Sutton to follow Mike Evans around either side then, like they have been doing with Sutton, or are you going to let it be an either or thing, knowing Chris Godwin is in the slot, he moves outside, he's all over the place as well?
I think they'll probably start out going left and right, you know, and because Jerry Jacobs has been playing well. He got 3 interceptions in the last couple games, so I don't think they will start out letting him match up with Chris Godwin, although size-wise and body style, you know, he's probably a better fit for Chris Godwin, being a shorter, stockier guy. And Cam is a little taller. He's a little skinnier, so he don't weigh a lot like a Mike Evans, but he could match up with Mike like a Marshawn Lattimore or Darius Slay type body. So just going off of size, I will put Cam Sutton on the Mike Evans and Jerry Jacobs on a Chris Godwin. And that may be something that they go to if somebody's giving somebody problems, if they start out left and right and, you know, Mike or somebody is giving somebody problems on the other side, they may go to a left and right system. I mean, to a matchup system, but I don't know. I think initially they'll probably start out going left and right and then just see how it play out.
Same with the safeties as well. Just let Tracy and Kirby play their natural strong safety, free safety, or do you shade one of them towards Mike Evans?
Well, I think, you know, I think you'll probably shade a little bit to Mike Evans just because, you know, he's a true deep ball threat. I mean, I think if Mike Evans come out of the game with 10 catches for 100 yards, I think you take that because that means he's catching a bunch of slants or just a bunch of little underneath routes and you're making a tackle and you're keeping it moving. But if he comes out of the game with 10 catches for 160 yards, that means you probably gave up a deep ball here or there. You know, he's been making some big time plays, and I don't think you want that from Mike Evans. I think you want him to have 8-9 catches for 70 yards. That's perfectly fine. I think they'll live with that outcome, that scenario. So I think it all depends on how they're trying to use Mike Evans and what they want to do. I think initially you probably want to start out shading a little bit just so you take that away early in the game and see how the game goes. You know, if you get up on them, then obviously they're going to be in more of a pass situation, so they're probably going to take more shots and try to get the big play. If the game stays close, now you got to kind of, you know, pick your spots, because when the game is close, teams still have their full arsenal of an offensive playbook, right? They got their runs, they got their passes, they got their screens, they got everything, because it's a close game, right? When games get one-sided, now you kind of lose the playbook far as the run game, because they want you to run the ball. That's fine. Run it, get 6 yards. That's cool. You're going to use up 45, 50 seconds and you're going to get 6 yards, and you're going to have to do that a lot of times to score a touchdown. So we're okay with that. So I think we'll just have to see, you know, how the game go. But I think initially you got to take that away and not let them get going early, being that you're on the road.
And that's one of the things that's interesting about this Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense is Baker Mayfield has looked a lot better this year than he did last year. At the very least, he's finally putting it back together, looking like that first overall pick. But one of the areas he's excelled in is when he's under pressure, which historically Baker Mayfield has really struggled under pressure, as do most quarterbacks. And he's under pressure a lot with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They redid their whole offensive line. All pro right tackle goes to left tackle, left guard goes to right tackle, and they've both played pretty well. But then all three of the interior linemen from that Super Bowl run are all gone. And it's been tough up the middle, both protecting Baker and running the football. This interior Buccaneers offensive line has really limited them. Think they can get after Baker? And if they do, does Baker continue to make plays under pressure like we've seen? Because that is not who Baker Mayfield's being.
Right. And I think the Lions should be able to exploit that. I think they can move Aiden Hutchinson around. You see a lot of times he makes a move where he starts outside, he comes back underneath. And if you can't control that stuff interiorly, I mean, if you can't stop, if you can't run the ball and then you become a one-dimensional team and they can turn loose the pass rush, I think it could be trouble. And one thing I would say about this Lions defense that I kind of noticed is those guys play really hard. They play really fast. Like those guys, those linebackers, those D linemen, they are coming really fast at the quarterback. And so getting, you know, Baker Mayfield off his spot, forcing him to move around in the pocket, run around. I mean, they were able to corral Bryce Young last week. You know what I'm saying? Like we've faced some decently mobile quarterbacks. You know, Geno hurt us a little bit. But I think if we can get pressure on them like we want to and force Baker to have to move around and try to make throws on the run, that could open up some big play opportunities for the secondary to make some interceptions.
And they got to catch those interceptions because
– oh, they got to catch them.
Because if they don't catch it, then Glover's going to be back here on Monday, Tuesday, whenever we do the next pod, talking about how they got to go to hand school. But
hand school.
It's been better lately. At least Jerry Jacobs, 3 interceptions in 2 games. It's been better lately.
Yeah, and I'm ready for it. It's time for Cam to get his first one. He's been playing decently solid. Time for him to get his hand on one.
Kirby Joseph as well would love to see him get an interception for a guy who picked off Aaron Rodgers 4 times, only 3 of them counted, but I would still love to see Kirby Joseph get his hands on a football.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, you know, for him, coming off of a year where you had, you know, 4 or 5, I can't remember how many he had last year, you think it's easy, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes they just don't come. But the law of averages generally – prevails, and so at some point he'll go on the run, catch him 2 or 3 and be right where he wants to be. But it'd be good to see Tracy get his hands on one coming off the injury and what he was for that secondary a couple years ago, for him to get a interception and, you know, get him a little soccer trot or, you know, whatever he wants to do. It'd be good to see that too.
Lots of players in this Lions secondary and this Lions defense in general that are capable of making plays. Time to see them put it together in turnovers. They made lots of plays, just tackling, forcing fumbles, things of that nature. But we want to see those interceptions come in bunches for the defense. On offense, Jared Goff doesn't throw an interception last week. The first time in about 3 games, he doesn't throw an interception. Not that it's bothered Jared Goff. He throws a pick and then he just comes back cool as a cucumber. And now Jared Goff is the highest graded quarterback from Pro Football Focus. And some people debate the value of those rankings, but they did have Glover Quinn as the best Lions defender of all time. So they get some things right.
They did have that, didn't they?
They did. They did. I think it's pretty accurate too. Can't argue
with
that.
I think so. I mean, he was pretty good. But, man, Jared Goff has been playing great, you know. I mean, like I said, the law of averages tend to work out, right? I mean, he went a long streak, a lot of games, a lot of passes without an interception. And so it's only right. I mean, sometimes, you know, all streaks come to an end at some point. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you just kind of like waiting, all right. I know I haven't thrown an interception in a long time, but I know at some point I'm going to throw one. Let's just go and get this over with. Here you go, take an interception. Let me get that streak over with so I can start another one. So he went 3 games in a row with a pick. And the only one that really hurt him was in Seattle when he, you know, had to pick 6. If you don't have to pick 6, you give yourself a better chance to win that game. But the other ones didn't really hurt the Lions. They still got the wins, and he threw an interception. Now he can go on another streak and play well for the remaining however many games that they have left throughout the playoffs.
And with the rest of the season on the horizon, as good as Jared Goff has played, do we see a contract extension during the season, or is that even something that the Lions typically consider? Because he's played very well, but he has another year on his contract next year. Goff currently making about $25 million. The contract average is 33.5, but he's kind of front loaded. He's making less now. So now when you compare it to guys like Daniel Jones making $40 million, is it time for Jared Goff to get a payday, or are we going to wait till after the season?
Yeah, they'll wait till after the season, but it'll definitely happen. I think he's their quarterback. I think he's the guy that they want. I mean, they haven't drafted a quarterback to be the replacement. I don't think they're going to – I mean, you don't just generally find franchise-type quarterbacks on the free agent market, right? Generally, those guys get traded or something. You draft them. It's hard to find, you know, every now and then Tom Brady becomes available, right? Or somebody, right? But not very often. So I think they like Jared Goff. I think he fits what they're doing. I think he fits the mold of the team, the city. I think he embodies that. And I think he's a guy that they trust, that they like, and they'll probably definitely get that done this offseason. I don't think it'll happen during the season, though.
Lions typically don't do that from my memory. I think Taylor Decker, they did him during the season, but it was early and they were close in the offseason. Otherwise, seems like they wait till the offseason. So big Jared Goff extension incoming, big Amon-Ra St. Brown contract incoming as well, because he'll be entering the final year of his deal. But that's all for the future. In the now, the Lions are a one-loss team sitting here at 4-1, ready to go 5-1 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa, starting to cool down as well. It's not the September highs, the September humidity, and the Lions are favored by 3, which feels a little low to me. You know, I'd probably give them a 4 or 5 point advantage against Tampa Bay, but what do you think about that, Glover, and what are you thinking for a final score in this one?
Yeah, I think it'd be a pretty close game for the most part, you know, because we're on the road, so you got to deal with that. I think Tampa's defense is, you know, historically they've been decently solid, tough defense, still got some good linebackers there. Secondary got some guys that can make some plays. So, you know, I think it'll be a decently close game. I think the Lions would definitely get over 20-point mark like they've done the last 14 games. I don't think they get to 40. So I'm going to go 27 to 17.
10-point victory for the Detroit Lions. I love it. That would bring an end of 5 games straight, all 5 games of the season for the Detroit Lions. They've scored over 35 points. But like you said, sometimes streaks have to end. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers feel like a team that are going to end that streak. Hanging 35 on the Bucs would be quite impressive. I just don't know if we get quite there.
Yeah, I'm going to give them, you know, I'm giving them 3 touchdowns and 2 field goals. You know, I think Tampa will play solid enough defense to where sometimes they'll get close and they may not be able to cash in for a touchdown. You kick a field goal. And, you know, being on the road, I know Dan is a, you know, the fourth downer, but I think sometimes when you're on the road, you got to take those points in some situations where at home you may go for it on fourth down. Just being at home, momentum and all those things. But sometimes on the road, you know, you may take the field goal and put some points on the board. So I'm going to give them 3 touchdowns and a couple of field goals to put them at 27. And then I give, you know, I think Tampa will be able to score. You know, Carolina scored 10 points in what I would call the game play. I know they got 14 points in the fourth quarter, kind of in junk time, I guess. But I think Tampa will get a couple of touchdowns and probably a field goal in there and get to about 17 to 21. But I think the Lions will get the win, 27-17, 27-21, somewhere right now.
And at that point, the Lions will be 4-1, well ahead of
five and one.
5-1, well ahead of the rest of the NFC North. Vikings and Bears face each other. The Bears can either get their second win or the Vikings can get their second win. But Vikings going to be without Justin Jefferson for at least the next four games. He's on injured reserve. If they lose to the Bears, they're obviously going to lose to the 49ers, and then they play the Packers. If the Vikings are 1-7, do they get rid of Kirk Cousins?
I mean, you know, I think they can. I just don't know if they will. I don't know if you will have buyers really at that point, because people say, well, he can go to the Jets. Well, now you're bringing in a quarterback mid-season, right? They already rolling with Zach Wilson. Aaron Rodgers will be back next year. So then what do you do with Kirk, right? And then if another team is out of playoff contention, why are they trading for Kirk, who, you know, he only got 1 year left, so he's going to be a free agent. Why trade for him just for him to leave? And if a team is, you know, in playoff contention, then they probably already got a decent quarterback, you know? So I think it'll be difficult to move a quarterback midseason. I think you can pick up a good wide receiver, or you can pick up a DB, or you can pick up a D lineman or a linebacker. You know what I'm saying? I think you can pick up those guys midseason to help aid in a playoff run. I just think it's very difficult for the quarterback position.
Especially when Vikings looking at 1-7, that'll be 8 games into the season. Jets probably aren't in contention 8 games into the season. Maybe the Falcons are, but also they seem to like Desmond Ridder, so they probably stick with him if they're in playoff contention. So, like you said, teams that need a quarterback, unless there's an injury, unless there is a freak injury to someone before the trade deadline, it doesn't really make sense for most teams. Because the Jets, the favorite contender for Kirk, aren't really going to be contenders in the AFC.
No, I mean, it just all depends. You know, you look at them, you know, the division that they're in, that they're going to end up third behind Buffalo and Miami. You know, they'll be ahead of New England. You know, you look at the East, I mean, Baltimore. You know, and that's what's crazy about that whole division, right? Cincinnati has been awful throughout the first few games, but they're sitting there at 2-3. The leader's at 3-2. Like, Cincinnati is 1 or 2 games from being the leader in the East, and they are not that good of a team to me, but that just means to me that division is a little down. We all thought Baltimore was going to be that, but they just haven't been that. The Steelers are not that. You look up, and they're 3-2, but they're just not. They're just not that. So I don't know if that division gets two teams into the playoffs. And then you look at the West, you know, you're going to have Kansas City, San Diego, LA Chargers will probably get there, but Denver's not going to be there. Vegas, I don't think Vegas is going to be there, you know. And then you go to the North. I did the North with Pittsburgh, I guess. You go to the South, I think you get the Texans. Anthony Richardson is hurt in the Colts, and you got Jacksonville. You know, I don't know if you get two teams out of that division, maybe. But with the extra, don't they take an extra team now?
Yeah, 7 teams.
They take 7 teams now. So
3 non-division winners.
I mean, the Jets might could sneak in. They might, you know, they might. Every year is one team, one division is going to have 3 teams. Last year, I think it was Seattle, San Fran, and no, they only had 2. It was the East that had 3, the Giants, Cowboys, and the Eagles.
Yeah.
Right. So it's going to be one division that's going to have probably 3 teams. Could be the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins. I don't know. We'll see.
It's a long season left to go. We are only heading into week 6. We still have for the Detroit Lions after six, five of them being wins. We'll still have 11 football games left to play. There's still a lot of football to unfold, but I think we feel pretty confident with this Detroit Lions team right now.
Yeah, I think they're in a good spot. Two tough games on the road these next 2 weeks. So this right here is a, like I say, if you want to show that you are a good team in this league, these are two games that you have to go win.
Two big road games and then a Monday night football game against the Las Vegas Raiders. And hopefully when all is said and done, we will be sitting there at 7-1 heading into the bye. It is a great time to be a Detroit Lions fan. Glover, any final thoughts on the Lions, the NFL in general, or anything else going on?
Nah, man, I hope the Lions are getting healthy. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown's coming back. Hope they just continue to keep their foot down and continue to focus on them and playing well. And, you know, the rest of the league, it's a good league. It's a good teams. You know, games have been exciting. So continue to watch. And let's just hope for a safe and great week six.
Let's go heading into week six. It is once again a great time to be a Detroit Lions fan. If you haven't jumped on the bandwagon yet, you are still welcome. There is still lots of room on this bus to the playoffs, to the NFC Championship, hopefully, and hopefully to the Super Bowl. But until we get there, we will see you next time.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.